Welcome to the second session of our discussion on an approach to kashrus, concession and consumption. A nation is born at Sinai, graduated and advanced beyond seven Noahide laws, 613 mitzvot are taught to purify an otherwise base and physical creature. Mundane everyday activities are transformed into religious and spiritual responses and actions. Eating becomes a religious activity. Meals become halachic performances on Shabbos, on Yontif, at Sudas Mitzvah. Even the table eaten upon becomes a mizbeach, since eating takes on a form of divine worship. There is an entire system of Torah responding to every dust of the earth experience. Do we then still need to make use of a concession to eat meat, revealed when Torah was circumscribed and limited to seven fundamental laws in pre-Sinaitic days? Perhaps the concession of meat was only necessary for those generations who did not get the benefit of Ma'amad Har-Sinai, of the Sinai revelation, and therefore required greater constraints concurrent with greater concessions. Yet we know the Torah reveals a myriad of law and lore regarding the consumption of meat. The mere mention of the term Yoradeya conjures up the notion of years of intensive study, of hundreds and thousands of halachos, of thousands of hagos and piskei din and responsa literature, all relating to the laws of ritual slaughtering, of shechita, of kisei adam, covering the blood, kashrus, all revealed to Moshe at Sinai, transmitted through the oral law. Moreover, the focus of Avodas Beis Hamikdash, the method prescribed by God Himself as to how we can best approach Him, is korbanos, sacrifices, the slaughter, the sacrifice, and often the consumption of the sacrificial meats, both by the Be'olim, the owners, as well as of the Kohanim, the priests. This is the essence of Kodshim. As to the consumption of meat outside the parameters of temple service and requirements, the Torah itself recognizes the natural urge and desire for meat when it instructs in Parshas Re'eh, when God expands your borders as He promised you, and your natural desire to eat meat asserts itself, so that you say, I wish to eat meat, you may eat as much meat as you wish. You may then eat them in your settlement in any manner you desire. But be extremely careful not to eat the blood. Yes, the Torah very much recognizes the natural desire to eat meat, irrelevant of temple requirements, and continues seemingly in the same vein, namely, that meat consumption is a concession conditional on the prohibition of blood and all other isurim and restrictions imposed by Torah law. This parsha, with its very specific phraseology, is the basis, after all, of all the laws of kashrus meant for everyday Jewish living. V'zavachta mipkocha umitzonecha kaasher tzivisicha. And you shall slaughter as I have commanded you. And Rashi clearly teaches that we understand from here that there are specific rules of slaughtering. The rules of ritual slaughter imparted to Moshe at Sinai. And the Ramban clarifies, you may now eat them unconsecrated everywhere, so long as they are ritually slaughtered in the same way you performed the rite when they had to be consecrated as sacrifices. In other words, as long as the meat we consume is perfectly kosher as defined by Torah law, we may eat it heartily and enjoy it. True, we have not retrieved our dominion over the animal kingdom which we possessed in the pre-flood days, nor may we do with the animal kingdom as we simply desire. We have, however, been given license and freedom to slaughter the animals according to the halachic regulations for our consumption, as long as it is done in strict accordance with God's regulations. What is God really communicating? Why the continued need for the concessions and dispensations? Simply stated, God is revealing a basic truth established and affirmed by the generation of Chamos, Noah's contemporaries. Human nature does not easily respond to radical change. It may, however, respond better to refinement, to adjustment, to shift of focus, or perhaps gradual change. Man has an urge to kill, to destroy, to be domineering, control, and overpower. That is fact. Torah shifts the focus from brutally killing a neighbor to slaughtering an animal in the swiftest, least painful manner to satisfy not a passion to kill, but rather a relish for food. Man may very well be a prime candidate to become a murderer. Instead, Torah shifts his inclination to learn, to study, to piously absorb all it takes to become a shoichet, a devout, committed, learned servant of God. Indeed, when a shift of focus is unnecessary, an adjustment and refinement are uncalled for, then concessions are not required. Rav Moshe Feinstein of blessed memory explained why the Torah in Re'eh found it necessary to re-explain that blood may not be consumed because it is the nefesh. A nefesh should not be eaten with the meat. Usually that which is forbidden for non-kosher meats is also forbidden for sacrificial meats. Blood, however, is forbidden for the hedyot consuming chulin meat. For the plain person consuming chulin, non-sacrificial meat, yet it is permissible and required for gavoa, for sacrificial purposes. Why? Because the focus is radically different. Any individual eating meat must be forewarned and reminded that the blood is permanently forbidden, even if the meat is not. Whereas the sacrificial blood is the essence of atonement. The nefesh of the animal's blood atones for the sinner's nefesh. The Kohen engaged in the avoda of the temple requires no refinement or adjustment or gradual change. It is the private meat consumer, however, who needs constant prompting and refining and focusing and a better and a clear understanding of all that kashrus really is and what it ultimately represents. The sharpening of the spiritual pupil and the fine-tuning of the inner ear gradually lead to deeper and more sophisticated levels of religious sensitivity and appreciation. We may gradually be able to respond more as a refined Kohen and less as an untrained Yisrael. If a God-fearing individual eats meat or drinks wine, said Reb Shneur Zalman of Ladi, in order to broaden his heart to God and his Torah, or in order to fulfill the mitzvah of pleasure on Shabbos and Yontif, then that flesh has been affected by a measure of radiance and goes up to God as a sacrifice. The sharpened focus uplifted the permitted yet restricted chulin meat to levels of unrestricted and sought-after kochim offerings. It is no mere coincidence that the very first law recorded in the entire Torah is a kashrus law, a dietary law. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Composed of body and soul, Adama and Neshama, neither of which possess exclusive reign over human behavior and thought, God must impose limitations, restrictions, and guidelines from the very beginning of man's emergence. Otherwise, man would either turn Epicurean in search of all pleasure, or turn ascetic in avoidance of all pleasure. Once limits are set, higher goals and aspirations are to be sought. Initially, all meat is forbidden. No concessions are necessary. Then, meat is sanctioned, while aver min achai and blood are restricted. Minimum standards are in place. As the Sinai imperative takes hold, God's instructions set more desirable spiritual goals. Only limited species of animals are permitted. The blood must be covered. Aiming for higher spiritual levels, meats are reserved for use of gavoa. And so, there are those who even today, in non-temple times, will set aside their meats for exclusive consumption on days when more desired spiritual levels may be achieved, on Shabbos and on Yontif. In time, in that era, when there will be neither famine nor war, neither jealousy nor strife, blessings will be abundant, comforts within the reach of all. The one preoccupation of the whole world will be to know the Lord. The exercise of self-control will be more forthcoming, and compassion overwhelming to all his creations. In that era, the saintly Rav Kook predicts the progress of dynamic ideals will not be eternally blocked. Through general moral and intellectual advancement, when they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them," shall the latent aspiration of justice for the animal kingdom come out into the open when the time is ripe. Only then, when Isaiah's prophecy, "The nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn the arts of war anymore," be fulfilled. man's urge and inclination to kill, overpower, and destroy will dissipate and diminish. Priorities will shift. Values refined. Focus sharpened. For then, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Thank you for listening. All the best to you.